very good afternoon, Namibia, into all our listeners across the continent and beyond. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are tuned into On The Radar, only on Eagle FM, where stories go deeper and news meets the analysis that it deserves. Now, today's edition is not just about making any analysis. It's history in the making. Namibia has officially launched its participation in the African Continental Free Trade Area. And we are unpacking what this monument step means for our economy, our businesses, and our people. From the port of Hervey's Bay, where the first export consignment under the African Continental Free Trade Area was dispatched earlier today, to boardrooms, farms, and factories across the country, the ripple effect of this move could redefine our role on the African stage. Now here on the Radar, we go beyond the headlines. We interrogate, revisit, connect, and challenge whether it's the policies crafted in capital corridors or the voices from remote trading posts. We bring it all into one conversation. And today, that conversation is continental. Now we've got experts lined up to weigh in on trade industrialization and Namibia's logistics potential. We'll hear from those at the launch, speak with experts, hoping to tap into new markets and take a harder look at the barriers that could still slow us down. Now, this is your space to think, ask, and engage. As always, On The Radar is live on our national Eagle FM frequencies, on our Eagle FM website, and available anytime via the WhatsApp channel. Also, do follow us on Facebook, Eagle FM Namibia, where you can catch exclusive clips, in-depth interviews, and breaking updates. So lean in, Namibia, On The Radar starts now. Let's connect the dots, because this is where the continent listens and Namibia thinks. Before we get right into it, just a short break and we'll be back.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Namibia has officially launched trading under the African Continental Free Trade Area, also known as AFCFTA, now marking a major step into the country's efforts to strengthen intra-African trade and boost economic development. The first consignment of goods was shipped from the port of Hervey's Bay, positioning Namibia as an active player in Africa's largest free trade area. Now, with access to unified African market of over 1.3 billion people and a combined gross domestic product, or GDP, of over $3.4 trillion, Namibia stands to benefit through reduced tariffs, increased industrialization, and stronger regional value chains. Now, the merger of the Ministry of International Relations with Trade emphasizes government's commitment to positioning Namibia competitively in the continental economy. Namibia plans to export a wide range of goods under the African Continental Free Trade Area, including agricultural goods, processed goods, minerals, marine products, logistics services using the Hervey's Bay port to access landlocked countries like Zambia and Botswana. And the African Continental Free Trade Area launch is expected to expand markets for Namibian businesses, drive local manufacturing and industrialization, create jobs across farming, mining, and transport sectors, support small businesses and youth entrepreneurs, reduce dependency on external markets like South Africa and the European Union. Now, ongoing developments, well, to facilitate trade, Namibia has implemented a coordinated, broader management strategy and a trade information portal, simplifying customs and access to trade regulations for small businesses. Now, we could expect also some challenges with this, and that's something that we will actually dive and discuss with our trade analyst who's right on not so far from us as we are going to get into it. So hence why I want you to stay connected right here on the radar and don't press any button. Now, challenges we might expect it could be key handles, including transport cost, border efficiency, and energy reliability. However, with targeted investment in infrastructure and production capacity, Namibia could become a major trade hub in Southern Africa. But on that, as the country embraces the African Free Trade Continental Area, the focus will remain on economic diversification, inclusive growth, and regional integration, paving the way for a long-term prosperity. Now, let us hear from Sneyman, who is at the launch of this. Let's hear what he actually has to offer us. And then right when we come from Sneyman, we'll be talking to economist Peter Franz on what he has to say in regards to this launch of today. Stay tuned.
On applicable to export to Africa, we export East Africa and also to South Africa. So these are our main export markets. I just want to mention salt. For those of you who don't know, it's not my product in terms of volumes. And the exports last year was between 700,000 and 800,000 tons through the port. Back to our competitors. I just want to show to you, for our imports into East Africa and to South Africa, we are competing with Australian salt producers. For our exports into the U.S., we compete from Mexico and from Brazil. For our exports into West Africa, we compete from Brazil. And then Egypt is starting to become more and more active. In the past, Egypt were known for not the best quality of product. However, they are gearing up. And they become more and more aggressive in their marketing, and they target US and also Europe. So back to where we've been and what I've said, if we are not competitive in terms of the quality of our product, in terms of the specifications and our cost structures, then you don't have a viable business model in the long term. And we all need to recognize that. With regards to Africa, WAF is based salt exports to 24 African countries. US, but the US is closed. So, and we only have got 50% market share in Nigeria. And I am aware Mr. Dangote was here last week. And in fact, Mr. Dangote is having the other 50% and is importing product from Brazil. If you look at the volume split, Africa versus non-Africa, 85% of our product is sold into Africa, and 15% is exported. And if we look at the split between refined product or crude product, 15% is refined. Just annual sales by country, you can see Nigeria last year took 440,000 tons. That forms 52% of our total export volumes. South Africa, 220,000 tons. That's about 26%. Cameroon, 45,000 tons, 5%. And the DRC, 50,000 tons. And then there's a whole list of smaller export companies as well. Smaller countries. Then Angola. Angola, since 2022, exports to Angola totally came to a standstill. It is zero at the moment. And the best information we have is that Angola's 2024 schedule in terms of tariffs, they refer to the presidential decree of 1 of 24, raised the import duty on salt from 40% to 50%, increasing the cost of imported salt and protecting local producers in Angola. So I just want to stand still for a second on free trade. I don't think I need to educate you on what free trade is, but My understanding of free trade is this, when there's no restrictions or imports or exports between countries. And generally, customers are better off with fewer barriers to trade, and that is what I've heard even earlier this morning. When we have more access to cheaper goods and services, our standard of living generally goes up. Without free and open international trade, many of the things that we may take for granted would be more expensive or perhaps poor quality, because that is free trade to provide a no risk plus no tariffs equals lower prices. In short, the more trade there is in a society, the more society is. However, on the other side, there is an argument for trade protection. And the best example I can refer to is in my earlier life, we started a chicken business in Namibia, today called as NPI. And initially to give protection for chicken imports from abroad, you had to protect it until the know-how was established and until the skills were there, and then over time that protection faded away. So there is an argument for it, and there's a fine balance that has to be struck between free trade and also to protect your local small industries, especially initially. Of the duties that we are currently experiencing in Angola, I've already said, and if you look at restrictions, there's a total restriction on exports into Angola. With regards to Nigeria, there's a 60% levy on the refined product into Nigeria. For crude salt, there's a 10% customs duty applicable, but some sources say it is 20%. So there's a bit of a contradiction. In Cameroon, there's refined salt or crude salt, there's customs duty of 18% applicable, but also 10% on crude salt. In Zambia, the customs duty is calculated as 15%. In Ghana, it is 5% on crude salt, 10% on refined product. In South Africa and Botswana, there are no duties applicable. For the group of countries called ECOWAS, which is the Economic Community of West African States, comprises out of that list of countries, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, there's a whole list of countries. Applicable duties for human consumption, 10%. For animal feed salt, 5%. Crude salt, 10%. So there are, depending on what is your source of information, you get conflicting information. And, of course, the question from industry side is how will the Africa Free Trade Initiative address these duties going forward? And we trust it will assist the private sector. This is one website we've consulted, the UN Trade website, for some of the information that I've showed to you. And they're very proud to see the certificate the certificate of origin that we've received from LAMRA. And we are sure that is going to assist going forward. And ladies and gentlemen, that is all from my side. I just want
okay, and then there you had it from Sneyman. And now we switch to economist of Peter Franz as we engage him up on this, on the official launch. Good afternoon, Peter Franz, and welcome to On the Radio News Bulletin.
Good afternoon. Happy to
meet you. Sure. Now, Namibia has officially launched trading under the African Continental Free Trade Area, which is a major step for the country's effort to strengthen inter-African trade and boost economic development.
Is this a long-awaited moment, and what can we expect now that Namibia joins the AFCFTA?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's something that we have been waiting for as a country, because as you can see, Namibia is one of the countries in Africa which is rich in natural resources. So I think this will just use our, it will be open advantage, because our natural resources as well as the Namibian meat product will be transferred freely to other to African countries.
Now, as an economist, Peter Franz, how will this agreement affect Namibia's gross domestic product growth, trade balance, and employment levels over the next, say, 5 to 7 years?
Yes, so basically, for those that have potential to sell their products outside the Namibian borders, but they didn't have the capacity when it comes to funds and so far, I think this to be a good advantage for them to be. There will be a lot of products to be produced, because there is a new market that is just opened. I think for that, the GDP, as well as the GNP, we should expect them to grow. And when it comes to employment, we know that when it comes to when the production increases, a lot of people will be needed for this particular product. So, so in this case, there will be an increase in employment. However, we should also expect the competition, especially for infant businesses, the domestic infant businesses, will be very hard, because this also opens up space for competition when it comes to global level. So we should expect also the big companies to come in the country, which might save competition for SMEs.
Yeah. Franz, can Namibia realistically become a regional trade hub through this initiative? I mean, considering its size and infrastructure.
Yes, absolutely. So, Namibia is one of the countries which has a percentage of offshore as well as the ports that can be used to transfer a lot of products throughout the country. So, mostly some of the products come through either Wolfish Bay port or Liberty port, or one of the ports that we have in the country. I think we are around three. So, in that case, Namibia will be used as a facilitator of trade among African countries. Could be, because we have this percentage of the sea and also islands. We have, Namibia, I think we have around four or five neighboring countries. I think
But there's a lot of wind in the background. I feel like it got worse. Okay. Yeah, maybe a bit better now. Now, how can Namibia ensure its agricultural and manufacturing sectors are competitive enough to take advantage of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area?
Yes, so firstly, when it comes to agricultural sector or agricultural industry, I think it's a country to just regulate more on franchises. Because these franchises are the ones that uses more of outlet product, as it described in the contract of the original idea of the owner of this franchise. So if we can regulate more and just give them our regulations that most of the agricultural products that we are going to sell, they should come from the Namibian market, should come from our own agricultural people. And also, I think we just to give subsidies to these two industries, especially when it comes to agriculture, because when it comes to food security, agriculture matters the most. However, manufacturing industry is one of the industries that has potential but doesn't do much in the country. So in this case, there are obviously some policies that are set in place, such as growth at home, which also helps the industry to grow. And I think if we can as well just find an alternative on how to officially or turn this mineral product into a finished product, you know, as a country, I think this will help the manufacturing industry.
And how can we protect our local business enterprises or small business enterprises while trying also to get them to benefit from the AFCFTA?
Yes. So if you see, the government has put measures in place to reduce the corporate tax from 32% to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to the income that the SMEs have protected in that case,
okay,
where at least the margin of income has increased. Also, just to limit the amount of international companies that could come into the country because they harm the SMEs. I think they also, that's the only way to protect SMEs.
Okay.
But then, also just to reserve the tenders and projects for Namibian companies as far as possible.
Okay.
Because this free trade agreement will open doors to a lot of companies.
Mm.
It's a long way to go.
Now, can the AFCFTA, or do you believe that the AFCFTA can realistically achieve the vision of a unified African market? And what role should smaller economies like Namibia play in shaping it? What is that we can definitely take advantage of and make sure that we play our role at the best of our ability that we can?
Yes, so really, if you look at the SMEs, they are those ones, not only people in services, but they are those ones that sell, let's say, products. Let's say, people that order products and machines and such to sell to the Namibian economy. How is this benefiting those people? So, if you see, with people that order products, not counterfeited, but the product people that orders your own product, these people pay a lot of money in levies, taxes and levies, duties, right? So this African free trade agreement will definitely benefit these people because it's either they are paying 0% tariffs or a very less than the usual amount.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, if anyone in the country can take advantage of the fact that the borders are now open to everyone, and also, I think employment-wise, and because the SMEs are the ones that are considered as the major group of employed people.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, when they increase their production, they increase their sales to outside the country. But I think we should anticipate the growth of that employment rates to go up.
Okay. Now, with everything, obviously, there is also negative sides or challenges that we might encounter. What challenges do you foresee us encountering?
Yes, absolutely. One of the disadvantages of this free trade is the competition, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So most of the domestic infant businesses, they might not survive the competition that will be brought upon by the global businesses. And also, the situation might get out of hand if policies are not well maintained and also not well articulated to be understood by everyone. Because remember, we use English, but not most of the African countries use English as their national languages. So if the policies are misunderstood by these countries, it will also be a problem because we could expect a lot of heritage and as well as maybe a possible trade war because of the misunderstanding of these policies. And also,
mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is, this is Namibia.
Yeah.
I think it's because of what is CMA, the Common Military Area, could also be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because it restricts some products to be strictly be traded among the nations that are included in the CMA. But if, let's say in terms of oil, Namibia is restricted from taking oil from Angola as the agreement. How is this benefiting if it comes forth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Peter Franz, lastly, what would you want to say in terms of Namibia launching, finally, it going to trade under the African Continental Free Trade Area? I mean, let's bear in mind also that earlier this year, there were so many uncertainties in regards to the tariffs being imposed by U.S. President Donald Trump. What is your final take on this?
I think for me, I'm just excited because Africa is now becoming a united market, let's say, in that case. And also, perhaps, if I would like to witness the how Namibia turns out in 2063 is one of the industrial objectives of Africa. I think this is just a little step, and I would like to see that Africa is one market, one big market.
Okay. Franz, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radar News Bulletin.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
And there we had it from Peter Franz, but of course we still have much more in terms of discussing about Namibia launching its trading under the African Continental Free Trade Areas. At the end of the day, we want to understand what this really is all about, with the benefits that we can expect, and perhaps a few challenges. Maybe the benefits actually do outweigh the challenges more and the negative sides of it. But now, let's take a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we'll be still diving into this topic. But remember, you can also partake right here and share opinions and contributions on the Radar. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. And I repeat, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Engage us up on this discussion.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
the best just got better. Bharti's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just $500 Namibian, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing, at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Bharti's offices to find out more, or go to bharti.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always
of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back.
Of course, we're talking about the official launch of Namibia's official launch of trading under the African Continental Free Trade Area, also known as AFCFTA. And perhaps you might be actually seeing that abbreviation now, every now and then, and you'll be wondering what it actually stands for. And I'm joined in studio now by Mr. Rodney Oeb. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to On the Radar.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Sure. Mr. Rodney, just how prepared is Namibia's trade ecosystem in terms of customs logistics standards to actually support the launch of the African Continental Free Trade Area?
Since Namibia joined multilateral trade in 1904, I believe that we are really ready. We are not newcomers to this event of trade with the other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a phenomenal step because since the AFCFT was implemented or signed on the 21st of March in 2018, Namibia has always been ready. But there are these processes which are legal processes and compliance and regulatory that had to ensure that we remain actually very much in compliance with the other African countries. And I believe that there's two sides. From the side of the administrative side, I believe that Namibia is now officially ready, and that was why we had this launch with Honorable Minister Selma Mashai. And then she had to ensure and give businesses the green light, especially at the port city of Walvis Bay, where most of our containers are heading out to other African countries. And does not mean trade or containers that are going by sea, but it also speaks about trade that heads on the road and from the border areas like Wenela, Oshikango in the south, and all the other places, Nako border, and etc. It basically speaks that is all AFCFTA trade.
Which African markets are more accessible to Namibia under the African Continental Free Trade Area?
In terms of trade access and also the market access in Africa, it's quite very widespread. Namibia, we could see currently from the multi or global trade challenges that happen in America with regard to the tariffs, and that Namibia, everybody scratching their heads to say that where do we think on ways or next step for taking our products. However, there's different dynamics considering that Namibia is a very arid country or has been for the past few months, and then we have the challenges of drought. Now, agricultural produce does not reach out there, but there's a different angle to look at it. Namibia already considering or taking up the baton from South Africa that is very much industrially advanced. It's always been used by a springboard by South Africa to reach the other African countries. Therefore, the products like your beer, the products like beef, the products like processed canned food, tomato sauces, all these has been passing through Namibia to reach the likes of Angola, Zambia, and the other countries. So Namibia always has played that vision of being an economic hub itself. And that means that we formed a very strong backbone in terms of distribution and also export activities. It also gave prepared Namibia very well. And I don't only mean from the private sector side, but I also mean from the industrial side as well. I also speak about being a facilitator also for exports from Africa, not just products that go into Africa. So products that come from other African countries to leave the Namibian port is your copper from DRC, copper or cobalt and coltan. All these minerals pass via Namibia to head out. Iron ore from Botswana, we get coal. They pass through Namibia. Whether they are headed to other African countries, they still pass through Namibia. That's why you see quite multiple numbers of trucks that are leaving or departing from the port. Not to mention that we also facilitate fuel and petroleum product imports for landlocked countries like Zambia, Botswana, and also Malawi and all these countries. That tells us that we have been shaped and we have been shaped not just for our locally consumed goods, but also goods that are coming in bulk, that want distribution channels or distribution hubs. And I believe in terms of that, we have really played a big role, not just only our own challenges with weather or manufacturing, but we have a different perception. We have a different mindset that is putting us out there. The people know Namibia is a country that really wants to distribute these goods and commodities. There are other challenges, especially in the Middle East, as we know, the development. That also has become a strong positive light for Namibia and South Africa, because if the goods feel unsafe in the streets of Hormuz or feeling unsafe to trade, go to the Middle East, they come through Cape Town and go through the southern tip of Africa to reach these other African countries, and that is also where we have a strategic advantage.
Mm. And the Port of Others Bay position us right at the center of that.
It's a safe, reliable port that can do African countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how can Namibia enhance value-added production to avoid simply exporting raw materials across the continent?
When it comes to the discussion of raw materials, it is a very, very diverse discussion.
Yeah.
And I always don't want people to fall on the ears of so radical economic activism.
Mm-hmm.
In economy, it's not always about what value you add. It's also about you be able to have a demand for something.
Mm, okay.
It doesn't mean that, it doesn't only mean that you have to add value to everything, especially if you do not have demand for that thing. Then it means that you will not have a comparative advantage.
And it will also be a waste of resources.
It will be a waste of resources and time. So we have to know that what do we really need to add value to and what do we really demand even after value is added. So as a lot of, for example, in the mining sector, there are precious commodities which fetch a high value. You speak of diamonds. We can add value. But do we need them after their added value in Namibia? Do we have the sales market for it?
Yeah.
Then the gold. If there's value added in Namibia, what will happen if we add value locally? Will it be for our benefit or do we need the money to buy the food that we need to subsidize that export? So we have exports that work in two directions. Sometimes you need to get rid of something you have in abundance so that you can acquire what you need to supplement your local economy.
Yeah.
So you can have as much as sand in your backyard, for example.
Yeah.
But if someone needs a sand, you need the food, then it means you must ship out the sand so you can get money to buy food, plant a garden. And I believe we must think sometimes, you know where the highest stream of value is in terms of employment creation?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the new world, mm-hmm. it's not just product value addition, it's more in the services industry.
Mm-hmm.
That is why the digital economy is growing at a phenomenal rate, because this is where people want solutions. They want convenient life because they see that the biggest threat of unemployment is not just your handiwork or the semi-skilled sectors and so on. It is in service delivery in the digital commercial space and
yeah.
so on. So we need to have a very vibrant economy, more than we just need an economy where we are looking at resource wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Namibia has been warned long time and many a times that having commodities at our disposal is not the answer to our economic problems. It is also about strategically finding other markets and other solutions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Namibia has a free medical system.
Mm-hmm.
How do we capitalize on that? Namibia is having free education. How do we capitalize on those sectors? These are sectors. They are economic sectors.
Mm-hmm.
But then to add value, I believe that it has there are three key areas to look at. Skills transfer, technological transfer, and incentives. If we sharpen those three, and I believe we are at very strong crossroads in terms of our industrial demand for Namibia, there is a lot of companies that want to come, but are we having the capacity to offer them cheap electricity,
mm-hmm.
cheap land,
mm-hmm.
and also good taxes?
Yeah.
Yes. If we can master that, I would undoubtedly say that we are ready as in tomorrow to add value to our commodities.
Okay. In regards to value addition, you just broaden up my mindset right there, because all the while in my mind, I'm just thinking value addition. I mean, it's something that we're always preaching every now and then. And I actually thought that we should actually discuss it right here on the radar one at a time to actually find out when we're talking about value addition, what is it exactly? And is it only value addition that we should be looking at? And I do appreciate that what you brought out. Yeah.
Just at the countries want to manufacture where they can have cheap labor and cheap land,
mm-hmm.
and also cheap input materials.
Yeah.
And they want to be in an ecosystem where they are also, for example, if we now produce tires, if we are in the region, if we can get the other minerals cheaper that we need to produce these tires,
mm-hmm.
then it means a company which is in China and the one in Namibia, when they compete, so in China, the ecosystem of the neighboring countries is there to do cross-border regional value chains, then we must actually grow as a region in many sectors we do, but not alone as a country.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing that they look at is affordable labor. Are we really at a place, and recently we implemented the low-wage the national minimum wage. And if these guys are coming and say, but I can get, employ 20 people in India for the same thing, where exactly, if you were a business person, would you have that? Because you know that when you finish your tire, you need a car market where you're going to put in feet in those tires.
Yeah.
And that market must be very big. So it's quite a technical set of questions that we need to answer before we engage on value addition.
I see. Now, what other lessons from African countries could Namibia learn from in terms of now rolling out its participation in the Africa Continental Free Trade Area?
Self-sufficiency. Other countries, they always make the best from the little they have.
Yeah.
So the only, it happens if you have a high demand for food and consumables that you have to import at a very high cost, then it means that you will always be reliant. But some countries ensure that with the rainfall that they get, that their diet and their consumer behavior adapts to what they have. So because if you live in a country where people feel like we are not sufficient enough in terms of our export of rice, but rice is going to be our number one consumption,
yeah,
that would put us away from self-sufficiency. But if we are going to look at maize, have more maize, different value propositions for the maize that we do, mahangu, I see there's also mahangu pasta,
yeah,
then we are moving in a direction. Then we have beef sector,
mm-hmm,
and then we are reliant on our own beef sector. We have fish, we become reliant on our fish sector. But now we export our fish, and then we import chicken. But the level at which we produce poultry,
mm-hmm,
is not very, very aggressive to feed the local demand. Then we will rely. So self-sufficiency has this form of looking at what we really want as a society. If we consume pasta, no problem. But is it local pasta?
Mm-hmm.
Is it locally made pasta?
Mm-hmm.
And the input of the wheat that is put in the pasta, that the pasta is made with, is it local wheat? Then you eliminated self-sufficiency. So many African countries, people always give a very wrong perception about African countries. That is why I stay away sometimes from statistics, even though I'm a researcher.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is, what they say is Africa is only responsible for 3% of global trade. It's not true. There's many trade in Africa that is not documented.
Mm.
So which means the cassava, the palm oil.
Yeah. The mahangu. But while you're there, we have a commercial break, but I don't want to let you go. So stay right there.
We've got... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of food that we produce, but they are not documented at every point.
Yeah. Africa. We'll resume now.
Shelves are stocked with a variety of produce, all at prices that won't empty your wallet. 10 kilos top score super maize meal, 119.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilograms marathon white sugar, 98.99 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilos Bokomo fed cooked flour, 39.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr soup, just $5.99 per packet. 2 liters Right Brand sunflower oil, only 68.99 Namibian dollars. You save your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Okay, and now we resume. And I'm joined in studio by Rodney Orb, who is the interim CEO of Namibia Trade Forum. And you're making a very good, strong point right there. Mm-hmm. Please kindly continue about how not everything is actually put on paper or documented.
Yes. One thing about Africa trade is the informal markets that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And hence why when we advocate for informal trade, which other African countries also give a strong level of preference, especially your order with me, for example.
Yeah.
And the market that is created by products like maize, where the guys put maize on the bicycles, on the trolleys and sell it every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Fat cakes. All these are not documented segments of the economy.
Yeah.
Ice cube, for example. But these are very strong proponents of our economy where we are today.
Yeah.
And we learned from other African countries that if we open borders, it should also be to create platforms where our indigenous food that we consume can also enter these countries. Because what we're going to get from Ghana, the number one thing that you're going to get is the Nkete clothing that you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So it means the Ndelela dress should be the first thing that we ship back to them.
Yeah.
The animal skins that we as a Damara men wear culturally, you'll be surprised. They are These are products that you'll be surprised that you can market maybe Kenya,
yeah, and everywhere else. In South Africa, Botswana, because those are some of the things that they actually tie to their tradition. Mm-hmm.
They want indigenous things for decoration, mm-hmm, and indigenous things for consumption. And in Africa, I will tell you one thing. Africa has one of the untapped markets, even, for example, in decoration products.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can get from Ethiopia, from Benin, from Nigeria. And mind you, Nigeria is one of the biggest countries when it comes to food production. So we're in Tanzania. Tanzania is now the second largest maize exporter in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Uganda has exceeded Ethiopia in coffee production. So that tells you that Africa is having a different frontier of growth.
Yeah.
Angola is tomatoes and chili. That is Angolan, where Angola is very strong and central. So we are, and then you have Zambia sitting with 60% of all the region's water resource.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you that we have everything we need in Africa, for Africa, without going outside and elsewhere. It's just a thing of the demand and supply, where these guys are looking also for markets. The other impediment that is strongly there, and that I can air it here, hopefully with the intention that our policymakers really find solutions to it, is how we harmonize monetary exchange. Because if we had broken that challenge, we could already buy in Congo, our fish would go to Congo, and we wouldn't want kwacha or US dollars to pay that for them to pay us. It would have been harmonized payments where it can be done through FNB, Dank Vanduk. So we can strongly appeal also to the banking sector to find ways to enter these markets.
Yeah, and to make facilitation easier and accessible.
Create jobs for Namibians. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing in those markets. And then secondly, we will trade with those countries without thinking of the challenge of exchanging money with these countries.
Imagine. What a beautiful conversation. I do really appreciate. But what are your last sentiments now that Namibia has launched the AFCTA? What is it that you anticipate and are waiting to see come 3-5 years from now?
Namibia, for a long shot, has been very dependent on South Africa for imports. But mind you, as a small country with 3 million people, Namibia has demonstrated a very strong drive for transformation. That I believe that Namibia is the one taking the baton even from South Africa, which is called the Big Brother. Because Namibia signed even an agreement with China where the tariffs will be exempted for Namibian countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then Namibia was also made a country of high priority with China as well. That tells you that within the next 5 to 10 years, Namibia will strongly drive its own exports to Africa without a reliance on bulk. But dependencies, we have a very deep port, and we are operating efficiently. And unless we have a defensive policy mindset about blocking this trade, then we will create a problem, a poverty. We will manufacture a poverty for ourselves. But we should take these opportunities very strongly to create a very open environment for trade. And I would urge different agencies. I want to thank agencies in Namibia for helping the Ministry of Trade, because the agreement was not negotiated for the government. It was done for the private sector to show that the manufacturers must get their products out. And I will urge them strongly if they need information on how to go about it. Because mind you, what will happen, there's something we call rules of origin. So now Namibia can break, what was presented today was a certificate of rules of origin for Africa. It means it's a made in Africa, not made in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is companies can rise up and say, we're going to make a made in Africa product based on AFCFTA rules, and we are becoming global or continental.
Imagine.
That is the message.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Mr. Rodney Orb, for making time for us right here on the Radar News Bulletin and educating us on economic and trade-related matters.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Okay.
And there you had it. And I sure hope that you have learned something as I have. And this is On The Radar, where we take what's making headlines and actually talk about it, interrogate it, discuss it, analyze it, break it down, dissect it, so that we can actually get a better understanding of what is going on. So tune in every Monday to Friday from 1300 hours up until 1430. Now, do remember that you can also partake in this discussions. That is on 0832 888 401. So don't be a silent listener. Actually do dial us up in studio on 0832 888 401. As for now, we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, and when we do return, I'll bring you what's making headlines in regards to economic indicators for today. So stay tuned.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi finawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu. Bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. Now let's talk about what's making headlines today in regards to economic indicators. Now we start off with the Namibian dollar compared to other currencies. And of course, today one US dollar will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 90 cents. 1 euro will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 98 cents, while 1 pound sterling will get you 24 Namibian dollars and 51 cents. 1 Japanese yen will get you 0.12 Namibian dollars, while 1 Chinese yen equals to 2 Namibian dollars and 50 cents. 1 Australian dollar will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 69 cents, while 1 Swiss franc will get you 22 Namibian dollars and 46 cents. Now, in regards to agricultural commodities, today the top commodity losers are oat at -6.43% and coffee at -1.57%, as well as cotton at -1.38%. Gains are being led in this category by sugar, standing in at 4.64%. Now, in regards to metal commodity, the top commodity gainers for today are platinum, and this is worldwide at 2.02%, while gold is at 0.83%, and silver is at 0.55%. The biggest losers are copper at -0.63%. Now, in regards to energy commodities for today, the top commodity losers are natural gas at -2.70%, heating oil at -2.66%, with gasoline coming in at minus
1.07%. Crude oil WTI is at minus 0.59%, and blend crude oil is at minus 0.36%. Now, Egypt's economy expanded by 4.77% in the third quarter of its financial year for 2024-2025. That is marking the fastest growth in 3 years after a 2.2% rise in the same quarter a year ago. Now, preliminary estimates showed the manufacturing sector was a major driver, bouncing back with 16.3% growth after contracting 3.9% in the previous year's quarter. Now, conversely, oil and natural gas extraction contracted further, shrinking by 10.38%. Additionally, activity in the Suez Canal fell by 23.1%, following a 51.6% drop in the prior year. Let's move on to Poland, where Poland's annual inflation rate edged up to 4.1% in June. That is from 4.0% in May, marginally exceeding market expectations of 4.0%, according to preliminary estimations. Now, the rise was driven by higher prices for electricity, gas, and other fuels, which surged 12.8%, alongside a 4.9% increase in food and non-alcoholic beverages. Now, these upward pressures were partially offset by a 10.0% decline in fuels for personal transport equipment. On a monthly basis, consumer prices inched up 0.1% in June, that is reversing the 0.2% decline recorded in May. And that's what we had for you today in regards to economic indicators, what's trading today. Of course, let's pause here. And you know, when we do return, what's coming up is news beyond the borders, what's happening in other countries or other continents. Stay tuned right here on the radar to find out.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka. Okwene ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. Of course, we're starting off regionally. Then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news right here on the Radar News Bulletin. Now we're starting off in South Africa, whereby they're talking about curbing violence against children.
Cases of child abuse. South Africa has a high rate of child abuse, with many children experiencing or witnessing some form of violent abuse. According to the Department of Social Development, more than 26,000 cases of child abuse were reported in the 2024-2025 financial year. Recognizing the signs and being aware of the different forms of abuse is key in the prevention of abuse within a household. Now, this morning in our Health Matters segment, we look at the worrying scourge of child abuse and what parents and caregivers can do to protect their children. Joining us virtually, we've got Dr. Sanelisizwe Nelly Belfour, a specialist pediatrician. Dr. Nelly, thank you. Thank you very, very much for being with us here on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Leanne.
So it's always an uncomfortable topic for parents, and we never really know when the best time and age is to talk to our children about sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, and the likes. Perhaps you can give us some guidance on that.
So I think when speaking to our kids about any kind of abuse, not just sexual, but I think physical too, we need to start as early as possible. And I think a lot of parents are apprehensive to have the conversation because they believe that it needs to involve a lot of information very soon with big complicated words. So what I usually advise is to avoid these complicated words and terms for kids. Keep it at a level that they will understand according to their age. Use simple words, particularly, for example, a toddler who just has started understanding, you know, the language that comes with all of this versus a teenager. So we basically will start with talking about body parts first. I know a lot of parents are scared to name private parts for what they are, but we need to name them for exactly as they are. So a vagina and a penis are named the same way that we name a face, an elbow, a hand, a foot. Kids need to know exactly what their body parts are called, because in the future, it avoids any kind of confusion. And, you know, it makes them confident enough to come forward and name these things if anyone violates them, unfortunately. We also need to talk about consent when it comes to kids. So we need to speak about how children shouldn't be touching other children's body parts, and not just about their body parts not being touched. Because I know a lot of parents speak about, you know, these are your private parts. People shouldn't be able to touch them without your consent or without you saying so. But we also need to instill in them that other people's body parts are also private and they shouldn't be touching them either. Mm-hmm. We need to speak about secrets, because a lot of the perpetrators and these predators who prey on these children tend to make kids keep these things a secret. Yes. And that's what perpetuates the abuse in these kids, or makes the abuse go on for much longer than it actually needs to.
Absolutely.
So we teach them about secrets. And if anyone tells them, you know, don't tell your parents, or threatens their parents with anything, that they go to a trusted adult and tell them immediately.
Yeah. And this is the thing. I'm going to quickly interrupt you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Nelly. We don't have too much time, but I know what you're telling us is very, very important. And these are the things we need to look out for. And also grooming, because grooming is probably one of the biggest things, because as we hear, a lot of the times the children or the victims actually know those that are perpetrating against them, and they're friendly with the parents, and they think it's okay because uncle, you know, or teacher, or whatever the case may be, those trusted adults are the ones that prey on these children. So what about grooming and these kind of things?
So 100%, grooming is something that we take quite seriously and that a lot of parents aren't aware of. So the majority of sexual abuse cases that occur happen at the hands of someone that the child knows. So grooming comes in many different forms. It basically just means that whoever is preying on these kids gets these kids into a certain vulnerable state and in a position where these kids start to trust them to the point where they can basically violate these children. So we do see a lot of grooming, and grooming tends to happen in a lot of different forms. What we've seen nowadays is grooming even happens with peers. So we've seen a lot of grooming happen when it comes to devices and adult content on devices. So we see perhaps maybe if there's a teenager, a case of a teenager having abused a younger child, they groom them by exposing them to a lot of adult content on devices, which kind of desensitizes children to this type of thing. And then it kind of leads to these situations where the other adults or the teenagers end up saying to the kids, you know, why don't we reenact this? And then that leads to further sexual abuse of these children.
Mm. And this is something that we need to look at. I mean, and following by numbers, I mean, according to the Department of Social Development, there's deliberate neglect being the second most prevalent in all provinces, with 9,485 cases, followed by physical abuse with 3,965 reported cases, and then 595 cases of abandonment. These are very worrying numbers.
Yeah, incredibly worrying. So I think a lot of people aren't aware that neglect is a form of abuse. I think it's the most ignored form of abuse because people tend to focus more on sexual and physical abuse, even though there is emotional and neglect also. So I think also a lot of parents who kind of commit the neglect don't know that it's neglect. And deliberately neglected that. And we've had a few cases in which neglect has led to physical injuries in children, as well as exposing them to sexual abuse by other people. And it's not lost on me that due to a large proportion of our population having a lower to middle socioeconomic status, neglect is something that's really, really common. I mean, we've had some parents leave their children in the care of other children or leave them on their own in order to seek help or seek work, or, you know, leave them to go and attend to other social activities. So we do see quite a lot of neglect, which leads to more dangerous issues in kids.
Yeah.
Quite interesting conversation that they're having right there in terms of curbing violence against children. And of course, the rise in violence against children is not only happening in South Africa, but right here at home in Namibia. And one of the major factors that that the lady actually pointed out is, so to say, or the doctor actually pointed out, the pediatrician, so to say, that children generally suffer, or most cases, those that actually abuse the children are those that the children are familiar with, children that they know of, you know, sort of like an uncle, a cousin, a sister, a brother, a nephew, you know, those type of things. So those who are actually close, or perhaps even that neighbor, that mommy's friend or daddy's friend or colleague and stuff like that. It's usually people that are very close to them. And the one thing that she did also point out towards the end there is about child neglect. And I recently, you notice how a lot of kids are actually in the street unattended. A child as little as 4 years old is in the street. Early morning, they wake up and know how to even open the yard and go into the street. I mean, I've seen my neighbor's child early in the morning, a little boy who just go into the street. And that actually is child neglect, because once a child goes off wandering off and then perhaps maybe even gets kidnapped, you'll be wondering actually, how did this child get out of the house in the first place? 4-year-old coming out the house when there's literally very few people in the streets. The only people who are out there are probably going to work. So in terms of child neglect, it's really true that a lot of parents neglect the children, sometimes also, of course, leave the children in the care of other children for long periods of time, and surely, and especially in the evening, you know, leaving children in the care of other children. I mean, I know it isn't, we are in an African culture or African world whereby a 12-year-old, you can perhaps maybe leave them at home for maybe, I don't know, 2 hours and go to the shop. So maybe just go to the shop nearby and buy something and come back home. But that's quite different from actually leaving a child with another child throughout the night. And for you as a parent to come back, I don't know what time, the whole night leaving kids. And nowadays, that's sometimes how you find out that the kids were at home and somebody started the fire. And all the kids been down in inside the house, and it's things that arise. Perhaps the smaller one might have been crying and saying, "I want some tea," or "I want this," and then they, you know, switch on the light or whatever. And for those who are using gas, and something just goes wrong. So those are some of the things that really have to ponder on and actually talk about and actually really dig deep to say, am I perhaps also contributing to child neglect? Am I doing wrong in certain things? Those are things that we really have to look at. And especially now that it's holiday, we ought to be very cautious in terms of children, even who we place our children with. Okay, we need to be very cautious. Of course, sometimes you can trust this particular auntie, but there are always signs that we sometimes overlook. You know, there's always signs when perhaps you take a child to a particular kindergarten, and every time, at first she seemed like she was okay with going there, and all of a sudden she's not comfortable. You begin to see certain signs, and we parents often overlook that, and those are things that we should not overlook. Of course, later on when you do see something negative, then you blame yourself to say, she kind of didn't want to go. And also try to talk to your children, open up and actually have certain discussions with them. That way they'll be able to actually tell you things that are happening that you yourself will be very surprised. Now you're still tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin, where we talk about stuff and not just the headlines, but actually analyze and interrogate it. Now we're still in South Africa. We move on to South Africa's top journalists that have been honored at the 2025 Standard Bank Sikuvile Journalism Awards. Take a listen.
And print journalists filled the venue with excitement and anticipation. Among the night's big winners was the South African Broadcasting Corporation, which walked away with several awards, acknowledging their continued impact in the industry.
It is always an honor to win, because then it really does affirm that you're doing a great job, and that your peers are looking, and that the world is actually looking. The country as a whole is looking at the work that we're doing. So this is really just a cherry on top of the work that we're doing, in making sure that we effect change everywhere that we go.
The story that won involved the financial abuse of women in South Africa. Our aim was to inform the public on this growing crisis, where women are abused by men for financial gain, like losing out on their life savings and pension funds.
Now in its fourth year, the Sikuvile Awards received just under 440 entries, down from 573 the previous year. But the drop in quantity was balanced by an increase in quality. Judges were impressed by the depth, courage and investigative rigor of many submissions, reflecting the industry's resilience despite increasing pressure. However, the evening was not without its moments of serious reflection. Issues surrounding the safety of journalists and press freedom remain major concerns in South Africa. SANEF used the platform to raise these issues with government officials.
We met government, we met the deputy minister in the presidency, Mr. Kenny Morolong, and we told him that the way, for instance, government sometimes treats journalists, we need to improve that, and we need to speak out. Our journalists are facing challenges from mental wellness. They are facing challenges of lack of access to courts. They are facing challenges of resources that are not there. They are facing challenges of, you know, poor working conditions. And we would always fight to say our journalists need to be protected.
While the awards night honored outstanding work, it also served as a call to action to protect the voices that keep the nation informed and to ensure that journalism in South Africa not only survives, but thrives. Lopang Alamu, SABC News, Johannesburg.
Welcome back. Now we move over to Zambia, where President Hakainde Hichilema of Zambia encourages servants against, or public servants against, abuse of office.
Public service remains the engine of the economy, driving policy implementation and fostering socio-economic transformation across the country. Therefore, the Africa Public Service Day is an occasion dedicated to honoring the vital contributions of civil servants to national development. President Hakainde Hichilema, who was represented at the event by Information and Media Minister Cornelius Mwetwa, warned that those abusing public office will face stiffer punishment.
In our quest as government to fight corruption,
We beseech and seek your collaboration, effort, and support that those of us who have been privileged to occupy public or political office, for that matter, or politically exposed, and indeed, those of us who are related to us, should not and not be perceived to enjoy an immutable immunity to prosecution when we violate the law, that then it should be deemed and said that it is persecution. The two are different.
And President Hichilema further urged the public service to be impartial in their service.
I salute the efforts of civil society in rallying communities and partnering with government in building a just and fair and prosperous society. I call upon the public service to continue partnering with civil society in our effort to achieve equitable governance and address historical gaps.
Secretary to Cabinet Patrick Kangwa called on public service workers to uphold integrity and remain dedicated to serving the people.
It is also our expectation that the general public, the private sector, and other stakeholders have been encouraged to work closely with public service institutions. It is our conviction that these engagements will result in enhanced service delivery and accelerated national development.
The Zambia Congress of Trade Unions has appealed to government to improve incentives for civil servants in recognition of their service.
We wish to remind government that the public service workers are the institutional memory of the states. When they are not properly motivated or when they are neglected in policy consideration, government loses not just workers, it loses their expertise.
Several ministries and organizations were honored for outstanding service delivery. Various ministries and organizations showcased their goods and services to the public. The Africa Public Service Day was held under the theme Enhancing the Agility and Resiliency of Public Institutions to Achieve Equitable Governance and Rapidly Address Historical Service Delivery Gaps. Alice Lubasi, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
After 4 years of service for her country,
Congo and Rwanda deal uncertainty over whether the hostilities will end.
The deal signed in Washington on Friday has been touted as a major step towards peace in Congo, following decades of conflict that have killed millions, including thousands this year. Analysts say it is going to be difficult for the M23 rebels to withdraw from the cities they seized during the major advance this year, and that such withdrawals may either take a long time or another round of fighting.
Around 10 peace agreements has been signed since the conflict started, but none of them has led to any tangible peace. And currently, there's been fighting since January this year, following the latest disagreement between Rwanda and the DRC, not wanting the DRC government of Felix Tshisekedi refusing to negotiate in December, with the M23 and the Rwandan government pulling out of scheduled peace talk during that time, and that led to an outbreak of conflict again, of violent conflict, of violence essentially, from January this year.
The rebels were not directly involved in the U.S. facilitated negotiations and have not spoken publicly about the deal. And Colonel Nanga, leader of the Congo River Alliance, which includes the M23, said that any negotiations must include them.
What we are learning so far is that there's a disconnect between the high-level peace building, the ones we see on TV, the Qatar process, the AU-led Luanda-Angola process, and also the Nairobi process between the various militia groups. We're trying to understand why these peace processes have not led to any tangible agreement for over 30 years that this conflict has gone on, and we are seeing that there's a gap that these two high-level peace-building and the grassroots peace-building are not connecting.
The deal emphasizes the two neighboring countries' sovereignty, territorial integrity and peaceful coexistence, with a commitment to hold all hostilities and any support for armed groups.
Meanwhile, Kenyan government... Meanwhile, the Kenyan government urges schools to support children in nurturing sports talent.
Government and schools have been urged to embrace and nurture sporting talents among students in the new CBC programs. Speaking during the preschool sports day at Kitengela International School, parents have been urged to take advantage of the midterm break to do outdoor sports.
This one is very key for their age because they are at the age of developing initiative and trust to their caregivers and parents. Sports helps them in their psychological development. It helps in solving problems. It helps in critical thinking, which is the backbone of CBC. Have weekly training. So for us, children are not going to be taken into one pathway, but they are going to have different avenues of sports and other co-curricular activities they are going to explore. Sports Day is just a platform that we are giving them internally to expose what they've learned. But on the other end, we engage in soccer, we have ballet, we have other clubs like taekwondo, we have martial arts and different other categories of clubs that these children are engaged in.
They are in the process of building a holistic child. This is a child who can be all round, doing so many things, not just being good academically. There was a gap in the previous curriculum, that was the 844. Children used to discover their sporting talent and art when they go to secondary schools. And more or less, the primary school was based on academics and nothing else. So we are in the process of starting early at the preschool level, so that we grow with this child. When by the time they are joining the junior school or the senior school, they'll have developed a sports talent.
For your kids, know what they can do, support them, and they're going to go far. CBC is not only academic supported, but we also need the extracurricular bit of it.
Most of the stakeholders see sports as a way of having fun, as a way of passing time. So they have not invested a lot in co-curricular activities and the sports facilities that are needed. Let the parents, the government, and all the stakeholders know that we have indoor and outdoor games and sports and the facilities that are required. May we all put efforts in establishing and providing those necessary requirements for this sports activity and as a career pathway to prosper in support of the competence-based curriculum.
Now, Paris. Government and schools.
Still in Kenya, over 90 youth are said to benefit from IGAD business skills training.
All right, that story. Now we are going over to 90% of youth who are to benefit from an intergovernmental authority on development training. Training is seen as key to promoting peace and stability. The first cohort of 30 young leaders have begun their training today at the Kenya School of Government in Mombasa.
The Horn of Africa, in particular, faces significant challenges with ongoing conflict and post-conflict transitions aiming to establish democratic governance in several nations in accordance with post-conflict peace agreements.
So that is now, you know, this integration has missed one very key element. That element is human integration, mind integration. That means ultimately the leadership integration. That's why we came up with this leadership academy. As you know, this region is very rich in terms of youth. 60%, more than 60% of the population of the region out of 300 million is a youth. It's a big wealth.
There are many complexities we face as a region, and therefore we have to be prepared to grow young leaders of integrity, of African values, who are determined to lead this country to the next level.
All right, with that.
Now let's move over to news beyond the borders.
Dream.
All right, now.
Spain has recorded 46 degrees as Europe heat wave continues.
Europe's being gripped by a heat wave, with temperatures in some countries in excess of 40 degrees Celsius as the hot weather reaches its peak. Take a look at this map. It shows the heat, with Spain, France and Italy all issuing warnings about the impact of the weather on people's health. The extreme heat in Spain has seen a temperature of 46 degrees recorded in the town of El Granado. That's the hottest June day ever, according to the country's National Weather Service. Alongside the increasing temperatures is the risk of wildfires. Firefighters are continuing to fight blazes in the city of Izmir on the Aegean coast, which has forced people to leave their homes. Let's speak to Jim Dale, a senior meteorologist with the British Weather Services and author of Weather or Not and Surviving Extreme Weather. Jim, good morning to you. Still cool at just gone 7 a.m, but how hot are we expecting things to get?
Today in the UK, we're probably going to see the 34 degree C mark, which is 93 degrees Fahrenheit. So definitely hot enough. You mentioned the Caribbean already. I'm sure we'll be up around that sort of area. The record, by the way, for June is 35.6. That was back in 1976, the heat wave we had then. 35.6 down in Southampton. Not sure we're going to quite get there, but there's a challenge on. We will see as the day wears on.
What's causing this, Jim?
Well, it's not just the UK, this is the whole of Europe. And when I say the whole of Europe, I can probably expand that into America and parts of Asia as well, because this is a phenomena. It's a heat dome. We get heat waves. That's absolutely fine. But it's being topped, and it's being topped by climate change, global warming. There is no doubt about that. One of the main instigators of this is the Mediterranean Sea for ourselves. That is because it's at record levels. It's only June. At record levels by some way. So when the air moves out of Africa, North Africa, into Europe and across that Mediterranean, it doesn't really cool down that much. So the great land masses of Europe and on the other side, America and Asia, it's just a perpetual warming situation. So that kind of thing is the reason why we're seeing these temperatures at this time of year, which is quite unusual. Only three times on record have we seen these sort of temperatures getting up to around 34, 35. So it is an unusual time, but I think what we're seeing is definitely topped by climate change.
Well, let's talk more about that, because climate change is seen as the effects of climate change are seen as a relatively recent thing. But you mentioned, you know, 1976 earlier. That's nearly 50 years ago. Talk to us about how climate change is impacting these weather events we're seeing and where the kind of curve goes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you mentioned 1976 and you say, well, where was climate change at that time? Well, look, we do get heat spikes. We do get heat domes. That's without a question. But what you've got to do here is you've got to join the dots around the world, see what is going on. And we talk about the effects of climate change. Then, yeah, we're talking about wildfires that are breaking out not just the United States, but across Europe as well. And they will only get worse with time. We're talking about deaths as well. When we get to these sort of temperatures for the last 3 years, 2022, 23, 24, we've seen in the region in Europe, according to the health authorities, around about 160,000 excess deaths because of the heat, mainly the infirm, the elderly and the very young. But nonetheless, this is getting to critical points. Once you pass the natural body heat of around 36.5 degrees, we're struggling to lose our inner temperature. You know, your sweat doesn't go very far very quickly. And therefore, it does have a profound effect on how we live, what we do. And sadly, in terms of fatalities, it's tending to go in the wrong direction.
Well, Jim, I've got to be honest from you. I'm from the north of Scotland, so anything double digits for me is a heat wave as far as I'm concerned. What can people do when it does get to these kinds of temperatures to keep themselves cool, especially if, as you say, they're elderly or very young or vulnerable?
Okay, well, a couple of things. The first thing to say is, keep out of the direct sunshine, because when we talk about these temperatures, these are shade temperatures. So in the sunshine, you can add 10 or 15 degrees Celsius to that. So that's the first thing. Keep away from direct sunshine. The second thing is to hydrate yourself. Thirdly, wear light clothing, cotton clothing. Keep yourself cool in that respect. Maybe have your fan on. Make sure it's in a position where you're feeling that air moving around. Close your curtains. I should say, into the future, we need a change in terms of the way we're approaching this. We need to act more like southern Mediterranean countries, how they act. So shutters on south-facing windows, for example. Our diet changes. It needs to change. You know, eating, how can I put this in the right way? Eating pie and chips, you know, in temperatures of this isn't the way to go. We've got to act like a Mediterranean diet, eat that sort of thing, and we'll be better with it. We need cooling stations, hydration stations in town centres, village centres, etc., so that people can cool off for free, because this is only going to get worse. This is a one-way street, and need to make this absolutely clear. This, although this feels like a one-off, and we do get one-offs occasionally, you knit this together, as I say, and it's perpetual, and it's getting more. So we've got to start to educate ourselves. The government have got to step in and educate the population in terms of what to do, not just in terms of heat waves, but also in terms of storms, in terms of the wildfires that we're seeing. What to do and how to do it, how to stay safe is a big thing moving forward.
Okay, Jim Dale, author.
Trump slams prosecutors over Nothing Else corruption trial.
U.S. President Donald Trump has lashed out at prosecutors in Israel over the corruption trial of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Saturday's post was Trump's second in a few days defending Netanyahu and calling for the cancellation of the trial. This time he went a step further to tie Israel's legal action to U.S. aid, saying Washington, having given billions of dollars worth of aid to Israel, was not going to stand for this. On Sunday, the Jerusalem District Court cancelled Netanyahu's hearings this week, accepting a request the Israeli leader made, citing classified diplomatic and security grounds. It was unclear whether Trump's post influenced the court's decision. But he also suggested the trial could interfere with Netanyahu's ability to join negotiations with the Palestinian militant group Hamas and Iran to end the war in Gaza. A ceasefire couldn't come too soon for these residents of Khan Yunis, as they mourned 5 people killed in an Israeli airstrike on a tent encampment, medics said. On Sunday, Trump called again for an end to the war. Make the deal in Gaza, get the hostages back, he posted on his Truth Social platform.
I think it's close.
He has said in the past few days that he believed a ceasefire was close. Netanyahu was indicted in 2019 in Israel on charges of bribery, fraud and breach of trust, all of which he denies. He was due to take the stand for cross-examination on Monday.
And now, with that being said, we have come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar Analysis. Now, do stay tuned for the Onkona Nadingi program brought to you by Louise Shimi. Thereafter, the Home Run Show from 16:30 keeps you company with Dwight and Helmut. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a blessed and wonderful Monday. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Eagle FM. Then tune in from 1300 hours up until 14:30.
9:30 for yet another discussion where we're going to be interrogating something interesting. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message.
Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Mudiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chika oshafasana nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito mbwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma. Onora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And Basically, any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
I.